Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Y'all remember the shifting that took place? Like in 1 year, there was a suddenly that just came, and God began to just put things in this order. And I'm telling you that we are in a season that you want to listen. I was just thinking, I was listening to you, John, yesterday on VFN Radio, where you're talking about the timings of God and late obedience. You know, delayed obedience is disobedience. And that's why, it's pretty much why the Church of America is in disobedience, because we're going to get to that. You know, we totally get it, but we're going to get to that in our own timing. Then I thought about, you know, this is all the timings of God. I believe Asher is a timing, he's a sign. And I believe that, because I believe God's people are about to be freed, like Joseph was freed. You know what I'm saying? I got good news for you. If you're in captivity, and that's a lot of different aspects of that, you know, where Asher was able to come in and help free his brother, Joseph, from captivity, that, you know, God is about to move. God is about to move. And the timings, I was thinking about this. And this is a good way to look at how foolish not doing what God says in the time he says to do it. I was thinking about football. And I'm being looked at right now. It's a game. They play with a pigskin. There are even some there's even some Saints that play football.
Help these guys out, because they have to Google up on
I got to watch like 400,000 years of football before they believe that I, you know, I like football. But I just like Jesus more than football, so I got to set that. It has to be consecrated.
So do I.
I have to consecrate it. You know. Well, I don't know. We were talking about the interview Jesus played on the
quarterback. Are you talking about Romo? That's blasphemy.
Wash me, Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, he Googles up over there, so you, I mean, just I know explain it. You know. Yeah.
It's football, not soccer. Football.
Right, right, right.
Foot, yeah.
Anyway, imagine you have two teams. I guess the Saints would be a good team to figure. No, you have two football teams on the field. You have a coach. It's coaching it. But you also have somebody who's over the whole league. That is the commissioner. Then they're all working together. They have these set rules. You know, this is what, how you play the game. This is what you do. You don't go around allegedly breaking legs or anything like that. That you...
Saints, jeez.
Yeah, allegedly. The... But the coach calls a play. And I don't know, you have, what, 35 men on a team? No, I'm messing with you on the field. I'm joking. You have 12? How many's on the team?
On the field one time.
Obviously.
11 on offense, 11 on defense.
And if you're the Saints, you got an extra guy back in the back. You better listen to Vito. Anyway, so so you have 11 guys on the field, and so you have 22 men that the whole world is watching them collide. And everybody has a part to play. If you don't know this, they actually designed a play. The playbook I saw with the Dallas Cowboys, that it was like maybe 4 inches thick. It was like 4 inches thick, and they had to memorize the entire, every play.
Because, like the old phone books, right?
Yeah, and there's not only a play that you're supposed to play, but there's also a timing, you know, that you don't, if you are waiting, you're in your position in the center, which is the person in the center of the front line, has the ball on the ground, and he's about to toss the ball from between his legs. No, he's about to height the ball. Just messing with you. Just messing with these guys.
Okay. Right? Oh, goodness.
They just watch football. They think they play it. Anyway, so the he's going to height the ball to the quarterback. Nobody can move until the quarterback decides the ball is going to be height. So he told him, he says, listen, when I grunt or something, you know, give some sort of signal, stomp my leg, as somebody else would do on the Saints. Then I want you to hike the ball. And if you move before the ball is hiked, the whole world sees you did not move in the right timing, right? And you're penalized. It's not because you're not a football player. It's not because you didn't know the playbook. It's not because you didn't know what to do. You just did it at the wrong time. You did it at the wrong time. Now imagine everybody moves at the right time when the quarterback, who was the leader of that team on the field, and he's calling the plays, that he hears. And and they start. But then you have all 11 players doing what they're supposed to do. But just like the person who went early, you know, one of them's deciding, I'm going to just do it, you know, 3 seconds later. Another guy says, I'm going to do it 4 seconds faster. Another one says, I'm just going to wait till it's all over right now, and then I'm going to do it. What is that? That's just, what is that, a Saints game? What's going on here? I mean, it's like chaos, isn't it? It's chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's strategic. Just because you know what God says to do, and you're throwing your 2 cents in when you're supposed to do it, you might as well just quit. Just you're first of all, you're messing everybody up because you're accurate in saying what God says, but you're rebellious in when you're doing it. And so people may follow you, and it'll be just as chaos, just as much chaos, just as much confusion. But then Jesus is the quarterback. I mean, that's a bad analogy with that because he's king, he's God, he's Lord. But he's the one calling the plays. And when he just says, go, I don't care how big the guy is in front of you, you know, you go and you do what you're trained to do at the time you're trained to do it. And understand this, that God will give you victory. God is the one that's working this thing out. And so I was just imagining then how chaotic a football field would look. It would look like probably the Ice Capades. Wouldn't it? It looked like the Ice Capades. And that's what American church looks like right now, quite a bit of it. It looks like the Ice Capades because what the church says is right, but everybody's doing it in their own timing. And not everybody, well, everybody's. I'm just saying, you know, there are people that are hearing clearly and they're accurate in what they're saying, but they're terrified about the timing and they're just waiting for that perfect moment and that perfect place to be able to do what they feel safe about. And they feel comfortable about it. But by that time, the game is over. The game is over at that point. And we should have just been privileged to feeling like, I'm on the team. I got the playbook. I'm gonna listen for the voice of God, and I'm going to just respond to what he says. You have to understand this, that read the survival plan in the book of Revelation. This is a survival plan. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is what Paul writes under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Not those who are dragged, not those who are convinced, and those that have to be intellectually explained. The problem, I don't even know what's going to happen to that. I'm just tasting salt, just thinking about it. Anyway, so listen, America, if you got salt on your lips right now, listen, church, I'm talking to the whole church in the world, all the way to South Korea. I'm talking to you. Listen, God wants us to move, just like when Lot and his wife and his family was moving out of the place that they are. And you may not move physically, but you need to move out of this place of mire and stuckness and this place of dead religion and this form of godliness and the sin and move into the abiding presence of God and never leave that. Never leave the abiding presence because he'll call the plays. And understand that you're not going to have the guts to go if you don't even have the ear of the quarterback. You may have studied the playbook. You may teach the playbook. You may have classes on it. You may have, you know, CDs, downloads, tapes, books, whatever, about the playbook. But you know what? There's a lot of people who teach in universities. And I always would think, but have you ever practiced these business skills before? Have you? I know you know how to write a business plan to get a loan, but have you made payroll? You know what I'm saying? Have you knocked on the door to actually sell the product? You know, have you ever done it? And those are the people God uses. And if you want to be a person that God's using, we're going to be talking to you about some awesome things this week because God is out of his mercies. Is shouting, you're going to hear a clarion call on VFN radio. And I want you to prepare your heart. You say, Lord, I want to hear the sound that's about to come. I want to hear that sound of my spirit because I want to respond to it. I want to be a part of what you're doing, not because I just want to be a part of something. It's because I don't want to be a part of what Satan is doing on the earth. And I want to be a part of this end time harvest, what's about to come in on the face of the earth. Because there's a powerful move of God coming. And it is here now, but it's coming to America in a special way. And it's not religion. It's not somebody building their kingdom type stuff. And we got all those little kingdomette things going on. This is about Jesus Christ and his kingdom, the advancement of his spiritual army to be able to win soldiers, spiritual soldiers, in the kingdom of God. It's about our heart. And we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking to you about EZ-12. EZ-12 tomorrow. You got to hear it because it is a prophetic. We just walked out a prophetic happening over the past, I think, 5 years. Probably about 5, 6 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And God has a lot of signs. You know, signs in the sky, signs in the earth, signs in us. But we're going to talk to you about that he made us a sign. He made us a sign to some and possibly to you. Mm-hmm. And it's a sign that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. But if, in fact, and you got to hear this, if, in fact, we don't respond, if we don't respond to the, if we don't respond to the what he's saying, imagine loving Father saying, listen, you know, I've had it with this. You need to respond.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then captivity is in our future. Wow. I mean, nobody thinks, I mean, how many criminals, for example, think that tomorrow they're going to be in captivity? They're going to be in jail. I mean, they didn't say, you know, I'm thinking about having a little cup of coffee today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go visit my mother, my whoever, and I'm just going to go into jail tomorrow.
Mm.
You know, it's just a suddenly that happens, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens, as we know from yesterday's program, it happens to people who love God when evil people take good people captive. But this is about a church, God's people who, this is the atrocity, just so you know, this is the atrocity because, you know, according to George Barna, which we say this all the time because we want it to become a part of you. 81% of the church is not reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't know it. You don't know what it's saying. What are you talking about? Hush. Shh. I don't want to hear what you just heard on some. Listen. Shh. And then, of the 19% that is reading the word, only 3% even care about what they're reading.
Right.
And so, we're in a bad condition. And as you heard also yesterday, there was a man in Harlem.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Who actually realized, hey, there's some components missing here, like the cross and the blood and repentance and sin. And that's what's missing today. This is the atrocity. This is the atrocity that the Lord is upset with us about. We have done away with his words. We have said we don't want to hear your voice. We've turned to men's government instead of God's government. We said, the church has said, okay, this is what the word of God used to say, and then we took his word and we changed it. We just kind of restructured, this is what he really means, and we totally took away what he really meant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mess, which means what you're going to be hearing about in regards to EZ-12, and that this, just remember that, EZ-12, that repentance means knock all that stuff off. It means get into God's word. Get under, listen, you just can't, I'm sorry, you know, I wish everybody was teaching from the word of God, but they're not. You've got to get with someone who is teaching directly from the Bible, not a new Bible, not some, oh, anyway, so, and you got to, and it's going to bear witness with your spirit, not your flesh. Your flesh not to go, you know, oh my, this is the happiest my flesh has ever been. I'm so glad I found God. That's a small g God, the one you found there.
Mm-hmm.
But when your spirit jumps and you're thinking, I know this is right. And even if your flesh cries out and says, ah, but if your spirit is like, this is right, then that's capital G God. That is the God who not only answers by fire, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And he is the way to God. And Jesus is the word of God. He says, a man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeds, the proceeding word of God. Well, Jesus is the proceeding word of God. He was with God before the foundations of the earth. He was with God when he said, you know, let's create man in our image. He was with God when they began to discuss what was happening at the Tower of Babel. You know, he was with God from outside of our time frame, and he's still with God today. And he became flesh. The Word became flesh and lived amongst us. That's how powerful the Word is. That's why the enemy and people who are twisted and seek to build their own kingdoms and their own stipends, their own treasure chests, that they twist that. And they want to darken Jesus. You know, but he says the light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. If you have a minister who is not preaching the Word of God, or he's twisting it, he doesn't even comprehend it. He's then fallen into deception. And so, you can gently talk with him or her and begin to share with them. First, spend some time abiding with God. And I'm not calling you to rebuke a minister by no means, because you're going to suffer for it, even at the fact they're in rebellion. That's not your place. But just to find out if you're accurate, you could be wrong, and they could be right online what they're doing, and you missed it. But you find out when you begin to abide with God and hide his Word in your heart and speak to God and let God speak to you, and you obey God and the timing of God. And with that, you know, you're going to begin to hear the voice of the Lord, and he'll begin to reveal things to you. And then go spend some time with that minister. And first of all, if they're not going to spend time with you, that's a good sign. You need to find somebody that you need to be close. Mm-hmm. You need to be close. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to have tea every day, but you know, or a cup of coffee every day if you're American. But it definitely means you need to be able to have a relationship, and begin to share what God's laying on your heart, because that's going to be anointed. You know, it's in love, sharing the truth in love. And they may be right online. They go, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. You just totally misunderstood where I was going. Or they may say, you know, well, I think you're missing it. That's the old time holiness stuff. You know, God's doing a new thing. This is the dispensation of you can do anything you want to, which is a different definition of grace. And then you got to make a decision. What are you going to do? And or it could be you could be excommunicated, which could be the best thing that ever happened to you. Out of the organization, I know many people that have, you know, found the voice of the Lord and the power of God, and they went back to share it, like Joseph went back to share it with his brothers, and all of a sudden he's like sold into slavery. And others are kicked out. And understand that that could be a very good thing, because you could be really mixed up trying to reconnect the old wineskin with the new wine if the old move rejects you, as we talked about that before in the past. So I want to encourage you. Listen, there is hope, but you're not going to be able. Insanity is to continue doing what you're doing, thinking you're going to have different results. That's just insanity, right? It's the definition. And it's going to require you to do what you've never done, to be who you never be, so God can do what he wants to do in your life. It's just going to require that. No matter where you are in this, what's about to come on the face of the earth, and what is coming, and what has come, is come, and is about to come on the face of the earth, you may think you're in a safe place, but there's no place safer than the will of God. And even if that means you're in a prison in Iran, you know, there's no place safer than that. And many people right now are trying to find a safe place and a safe situation, but you're not in the will of God. You're just trying to be your own God. And you haven't even consulted the Lord or sought the Lord like Saul didn't seek the Lord. And you need to be like David. Even if you have to run for your life like David, he was always in a safe place. Even if it was the cave of Adullam, he was in a safe place. And these are exciting days. I really believe the church is about to be free from captivity. But when the jail cell opens, when the gate swings wide, when God shows himself mighty, you're still going to have to walk out. And you're still going to have to walk out of the captivity. He's not going to throw you out. He's not going to drag you out. If he sets you free, for example, if all of a sudden the Lord says you're healed, but you stay in your wheelchair, you're going to have to walk out of the wheelchair. You got to get up. You got to do something, you know, and begin to walk it out. If he says that you know, you are able to do this and you've never done it before, you got to begin to act it out and begin to do it and see yourself that way. And when he says that he's pouring himself out in a third great awakening in America, then you have to begin to believe that and receive it and speak that and get in tune with God and what's taking place. And no, not everybody's going to be saved, but you can be. Don't be looking for the crowd. Listen, the crowd is what got destroyed in Sodom. You know, don't think about, I'm just trying to go with the crowd. Listen, this is what Jesus said. He said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few find it. Don't worry about what other people are doing in context, you getting right first. But if you'll go through that narrow gate, if you'll say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I'm gonna truly be obedient to you because of your empowerment by your Spirit, and I'm gonna be your disciple, and I'm gonna abide with you. And as I grow and mature in you, I'm gonna tell others about you, and people, they too will leave the wide road and they'll begin to come to the narrow place. But you cannot go the wide way and expect to win the wide way.
Right.
The only help you're gonna be for them is if you are actually in the right place. There was a book years ago called Balcony People. And Balcony People is a really good book. It was a small book. And I didn't like the cover. It was like some frilly looking cover. I was like, oh my goodness. Obviously you want men to read this book. Right. And but it talks about there's three type of people. There's basement people, there's main floor people, and then there's balcony people. And you have most of the people who are on the main floor. And then you have basement people that try to pull these people that are on the main floor down to the basement. Listen, it never works. It's never worked. It's not going to happen. God's not going to move. He's already moved already. There's not any miracles anymore. God doesn't, you know, all whatever. And this is you know, my analogy of it. And then there's balcony people that says, you know, when I think like Dowie and Mariah Eder and Amy Simple McPherson and Oral Roberts and Franklin Graham and Billy Graham and so many others that are gone, that are still, and some that are gone before us, that are saying, listen, I'm not going to go where you're at because I've been there, but I will stay out here and I will hold my hand out to you to my last dying breath. I'm not going to walk in the darkness, but I'm telling you, I will tell you and tell you and tell you that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. I will reach out my hand. I'm not going to leave my relationship with Jesus to make you feel better, but I will hold my hand out to you all day long. And the second that you stick your hand out, even if snatching you from a brand from the fire, I will pull you up to the balcony. I'll pull you up to the place in God and begin to teach you his ways so you too can be in the family of God. Listen, there's basement people. Most people are on the main floor, if you would, the analogy. And then you have balcony people. If you want to reach people for God, and you're walking with the Lord, don't leave your relationship with the Lord to go and be amongst those that are walking the wide way. It's narrow. There's no other way but narrow. But listen, there's a lot of people who will go if you will stay there and hold your hand out and tell them the truth. Easy 12. It's going to be a very, I think it's just going to just land in your heart. It's going to totally make sense. And it requires a response to us. From us to God, and just the same way the analogy we're talking about the first hour, but this shift in the earth, it was like I just want to tell you that this is when it began in my spirit. It began in my spirit on April the 10th. April the 10th is when it began in my spirit, where God literally pulled me into a vision. I was just there. I was there, but obviously my body still was where it was, but I was in this experience, and all of a sudden this huge explosion took place, this like big shot being fired, and it was so loud I just jumped the way, because it was real. It was like I was living in it. I wasn't like watching some movie. Some people say you look at something and you're looking at a movie or something like that. No, I was there, and it just exploded. Explosion took place, and then I started looking around. Obviously I'm looking around to see what got hit. Something got hit, and then I just stopped and I looked down to see maybe I was hit, and that's how real it was.
Mm-hmm.
And for 5 days later, there was a shot, an explosion that was heard around the world. There's a statement about America in our history books that says the shot that was heard around the world. It was the first shot that was fired in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And And what happened on April the 15th, and I don't know anything about anything. I just know in my spirit what God has shown me 5 days prior that this was going to take place. I didn't know such was horrific. And you can go back and listen to my response to that. It was just horrific. Mm-hmm. But in the spirit realm, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, that there was a shift that took place. And it was like things are going this way, and it was going to work out, and these things are going to happen, this was going to go. And because we didn't respond or whatever, all of a sudden there was this big shift that took place on April 15th. And the interesting thing is that it happened in Boston. And when I think about King George and, you know, Americans, original Americans were saying that we're just tired of, you know, 27 different reasons why they were upset about not getting representative government, that they were sending all this tax money over to England, and they would just kind of, soldiers would just come in and barge into the houses. Yeah, without, they could just take your papers, they could take your, I mean, just all this stuff was going on. And they could, no matter what they did in regards to setting up local laws in the New England area, the king would just, oh, well, it would just didn't pay attention and just undid them. Mm-hmm. And in the process of that, they had like the Boston Tea Party. And the Boston Tea Party was about, based on history, was an act of saying that it's over in regards to how this present government is doing things. The government in England was doing things because they were saying, we're not going to pay all this taxes on the tea that was coming in. But it wasn't just that, but it was so many other things. And all of this, you begin to ponder, you're thinking, you know, a lot of times people have their own motives and their evil motives and all these different things, but they don't realize they're being used as a puppet. They're being used by, you know, Satan to do his stuff. But in my spirit, though, 5 days prior to it happening, you know, I just felt the shift in the beginning of what was going to be defined as a shift that was going to take place, you know, in America. And I just want to say to you as the church that we need to wake up and realize that that America's government reflects us, the people. It is not the government ruling over us like King George. In America, the people are the one who chooses their leaders.
Right.
So the issue here is not Washington, D.C. The issue here is you and me.
Right.
It's us. We're the ones that vote people in office or don't reelect them and that type of thing, or for whatever our values are. And it's in regards to the church, that we, there's no hope for America if the church does not repent and get our hearts right with God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't hear last Wednesday, convergence, a prophetic word, you need to hear it. It was almost, it's the entire first and extra hour were dedicated to a peripheral understanding of what we're talking about here. But the shift of that took place in such a way that we just entered into the season that hold on, hold tight. Get right and get into obedience. Listen, Jesus didn't give us the great suggestion. He said he gave us the great commandment and the great commission, which is to, first, the commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, the commission is to go into all the world and to tell people about him and preach the good news to them. They'll be saved. And so it's time for us. It is time for us as Americans in the church in America, to repent, to get back to the original intent of God, to humble ourselves and begin to pray and seek God's face, abide with him, and to begin to aggressively go and preach the gospel and win people and realize that the present day religious structure may fight against you, but listen, that's what's holding a lot of people captive today. I mean, we want it to change, But we don't have time to have that kind of conversation. We can lay that on the couch later on and have a psychological discussion with it and theorize why it's your daddy's fault. But anyway, so, but right now, we have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of time to be able to hopefully be like Paul Revere and say, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming if we don't turn, as Rick Joyner just prophesied, then America will burn. And what does that look like? It looks like financial collapse. The economy as we know it all of a sudden shifts to some digital, and all of a sudden we're no longer have this kind of economic power. Our military, as we speak, is being dismantled. No, it's not no man's idea. God is allowing men's ideas to be able to do this, but he's dismantling. He's humbling us. And it is rebellion running rampant. It is the Guy Fawkes concept of doing bad things throughout the land. And it is, as I was speaking just recently to law enforcement, that they couldn't even qualify. They only shot 40 bullets at the range to qualify because there's not enough bullets to for officers because the government has bought all the bullets up. So they could not, and you know, they who would need to be armed? Wouldn't it be the law enforcement officers who work under the Constitution, or officers that we put in office? Listen, we're being set up, but let me tell you this. It's time for us to be like Paul Revere, but we don't say the British are coming. We need to say that the judgment is coming, that the judgment is coming, the judgment is coming unless we turn. But if we turn, our God will restore our former glory. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.